We want to look now at building a sermon. And the first place to start is with a good outline, a simple and clear structure. The outline is actually the skeleton of your sermon. It's the bones of the sermon. It's not the job of the listener to figure out what you're saying. It's not a guessing game. It's your job to make what you say and all the material you have studied and put together to clearly present it to your listeners so the listener does not get lost. So the outline will manage your material, it will keep you on track, and it will make listening much easier. It is very, very essential that you understand the importance of a good, strong outline. When I first started to be a preacher as a very young man, my wife was really my best critic. And one of her first criticisms of me was this: Alex, I couldn't follow you today. You did not have a clear, logical outline. And she would hammer me and say, you know, that is not a good sermon because I had to work too hard to figure out what you're talking about. And as I said, she was my best critic. And I believe that she was right. In fact, one time we were together at a church and we were listening to this speaker. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, honey, what is he talking about? And she leaned back at me and she said, I don't know, but you're the preacher. He had very good thoughts, and he actually said some good things, but there was no flow, there was no development, there was no structure to it. And one moment he was there, one moment he was there, and it was too much work, and most people just fell asleep. Whenever I'm preparing for a message, I'm reading the commentaries, I've meditated on the passage, I've worked the passage over, I always have my pad. Now, you may not want to use a pad, you may like to use your computer, that's fine. I like to scribble on my pad, and the thing that I'm working with is the outline. So as I'm studying, reading, thinking about the passage, I'm always working with a good, logical, simple outline. Now, your outline should be written in very clear parallel thoughts. So if you want to use two words like study love or teach love or model love, see, that's parallel, two words. Now, if you will look at the passage that we are using as an example, I want you to see the outline I have used. Notice carefully how I've used parallel thoughts, parallel sentences to present the material. So I've entitled the message, Six Lessons in Prayer. Look now on the outline on the screen. Lesson 1, always be creative in your prayer life. Lesson 2, always be in a spirit of prayer. Lesson 3, always be praying in the power of the Spirit. Lesson 4, always be watching and praying. Lesson 5, always be praying for others, a key point. 6, always be praying for missionaries in the gospel. Subpoint, pray for clarity in the gospel. Subpoint, pray for courage. Now, did you notice how easy that is to follow? And it actually builds anticipation for the next point. You're looking at these points. You can figure the whole sermon out and you say, oh, I can't wait to get to the next point. Oh, the next point is interesting to me. So it builds anticipation. It holds all this material together. And it's a wonderful passage of scripture. Personally, I think it's one of the greatest, single, most comprehensive verses on prayer. This outline is something you can remember and take home with you. And I always tell people, you're welcome to use it. Now, if you want to use someone else's outline, that's fine, but you need to acknowledge that or it's plagiarism. Some cases, you may have to call and get permission. But in many cases, it's out there for people to use. Just acknowledge, I took this outline from someone else because I could not improve upon it. But if you can prepare your own outline, it's better for you. And remember, the outline should represent the text of Scripture. You don't want to be so creative that no one can figure out, how does this have to do with the text of Scripture? Now, after you've gotten your outline, you've played with it, maybe you used your pad and you've been scribbling an outline and you've been getting your thoughts and something you can change, then maybe you'll type it into your computer and you can change from there. Right after you have your main outline point, you want a good, strong sentence that leads right into what the point is. Do not wander around. Do not get off track. Do not overspeak. Move right to the theme, the proposition, the major point that you want to make under each major point. So have a nice, clear statement. Don't overspeak yourself. Don't overuse words. Be concise. If it takes 5 minutes to make this main point, don't take 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Take 5 minutes. Be concise. People like that. And it makes the sermon interesting. Now, you have an outline you have sketched out, and you can play with it until the last minute when you need to get it either published for the church bulletin, or maybe you have a handout, which is always a good thing to do. Let's look at the body of the message. We've started with the bones now, the outline. You will have a title. Now, you don't have to have a title for your message, but many people use a title for the CD or a DVD or the church bulletin, so they'll want a title for those reasons. So use a nice, simple title, but the title should tell people what you're talking about. It should really focus them on the point. Now, I used a very elementary, simple title. I called it Six Lessons in Prayer. Might even be too simple for most people. Some people are more creative. They like something like, I prayed till I dropped. Or, I broke my knees praying so much. I have camel knees. Well, those are very creative titles, and if that's what you like to do, fine. I like something simple, but something that my listener can grasp right away. This is what this sermon's about. Then introduction. The introduction, the purpose of the introduction is to capture the audience's attention and interest, and then introduce the theme and the subject. John Broadus once quipped, well begun is half done, and ill begun is apt to be wholly ruined. Your introduction is important, but this is where people can make a big mistake. I have seen people take 20 minutes for an introduction. Now, you know what that means? It means you're not going to have time for your full sermon. And so the preacher will get halfway through the sermon or near the end, he'll say, sorry, I'm run out of time. I cannot finish my sermon. Well, the reason he didn't finish the sermon is he didn't take control of the sermon at the beginning. You don't want a 20-minute introduction. If you want a review of last week, keep it nice and short and succinct. Don't go on and on in a review. You will bury your listener, and it will be boring to most people. If you want to use an illustration, that's fine, but don't let the illustration get out of control or a story. Remember, you're just introducing the material, you're raising interest, you're giving orientation, you're building anticipation. It's not the sermon. Be careful of that. You may want to just state your theme. I personally like to move through my introduction very rapidly and do not spend much time. That's my own personal opinion. Now, you have your outline. And you have these different nice parallel thoughts, easy to remember, easy to follow. You want now subpoints. You've made a nice clear statement for each major point that you've made, but you start breaking down the material you have into subpoints. Now, I use subpoints in the last point because Paul has two requests, that he'll be bold and that he'll be clear in the message. So they became two nice subpoints. And you want your subpoints to be clear. Now, the purpose of the main point, the subpoints, is to follow the development of your message and your argument, and to follow the flow of thought. You do not want to lose your listener. You want to keep him with you. And so you break down your material into these subpoints that are following the text and are following the train of thought. After you have your outline, your subpoints, you put the body of your material in from your reading, your study, then you need to place illustrations in the right place, place application in the right place, and then if you like to use personal or practical suggestions and helps, that's important too. So you know just where everything fits in the sermon. Now, conclusion and response. I call this landing the plane. Some people are good at taking off. Good introduction, good major points, nice flow of development, good illustrations happen. They can't land the plane. They go around, they circle the airport. I literally heard a man one time get to the end of his sermon, he didn't know how to land the plane, he went back over and gave much of the sermon over again. The conclusion is important. You bring it to a conclusion, and that's where you focus on the audience. And I personally like a response, either in silent prayer or a song or asking them to respond to a particular aspect of the message. I believe it's a very good thing to have a conclusion that causes audience response. So that's basic structure. Now, there's so much that can be said about this. A book that is very helpful, Jack Hughes's book, Expository Preaching with Word Pictures. I recommend this book. He'll explain what expository preaching is. He'll give you excellent illustrations. He'll show you how to get illustrations from the text, how to use keywords to illustrate. I recommend this for building the body of your sermon.